Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Collins Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo. New Mexico is in what has been termed a double-dip recession. We are at or near the top of lists of states where food insecurity impacts the greatest percentage of residents, and our job growth is among the worst in the U.S. According to the New Mexico Human Services Department, more than 450,000 New Mexicans receive food assistance under the federally funded Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Governor Susana Martinez's administration is proposing to restore work requirements for childless adults and to require job searches or community service to be performed by low-income parents and other caregivers of children under age six. Children age six and older, in order to receive food assistance. Will the requirements assist people in becoming self-sufficient or simply knock poor people out of SNAP? Joining me in studio today to discuss the issue is Sovereign Hager, staff attorney with the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty. Joining me by phone from Washington, D.C. is Ed Bolin, senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Welcome to both of you, and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Yes, good morning, Ed. Sovereign Hager, tell us a bit generally about the work of the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty, please.
Right. So the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty is a nonprofit law office, and we engage in systemic advocacy to advance social justice and living conditions of the lowest income New Mexicans. So my work is really focused on expanding access to public benefits and easing access to public benefits for the lowest income New Mexicans.
Do you see individual clients? Do members of the public come in and out of the offices? Is that part of what you do?
It's a part of what we do, but it's the majority of what we do is actually systemic advocacy. So we don't take many clients, but we do a lot of we do litigation, impact litigation to advance access to some of these programs. We engage in administrative advocacy and legislative advocacy.
Well, are you able to give us an overall picture of hunger and poverty in New Mexico?
Sure. So, you know, there's been a lot of information out about this, that New Mexico is really struggling with hunger at this time. We have the highest rate of child food insecurity in the country. One in three children suffer from hunger in this state.
So we're ranked number one in childhood hunger.
That's right. Okay. And we are near the top for worst hunger among adults overall. And we have a very high percentage of our state population also lives in poverty. So almost 30% of our children live in poverty in New Mexico. And around 86% of our SNAP participants are below 100% of the federal poverty level. And that's about an annual income of below $20,000 for a family of three.
Now, is there a statistic about how many New Mexicans are seeking food assistance every week?
Right. So we know that about 44,000 New Mexicans seek food assistance weekly, and that is equivalent to a city the size of Farmington seeking food assistance.
Now, we've already referred to it, the program as SNAP. That's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. So are SNAP benefits what used to be known as food stamps?
That's right, Kathleen. SNAP benefits, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, changed its name to SNAP several years ago, and some people still know it as food stamps. But it provides a monthly benefit on an electronic benefit card that people can use to purchase food.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you a little bit about how it works. So somebody goes in and applies for benefits. They have to prove their income, and then they get an electronic benefit card.
That's right.
And an amount of balance is automatically put on that card every month, you say?
Right. So generally, to be eligible for food stamps, participants need to have income below 165% of the federal poverty, and that's around $32,000 a year for a family of three. Participants would apply at an income support division office or online and be screened. And initially, they're screened really for eligibility for what we call emergency food assistance or SNAP, expedited SNAP. And that entitles a qualifying participant to benefits within 7 days. And that's if they have income less than $100 a month and almost no assets. Otherwise, applicants receive an eligibility decision within 30 days by federal law.
Now, an estimated New Mexico population in total these days is somewhere around 2.1 million, just under that. And I mentioned a figure in my intro of more than 450,000 people receiving SNAP benefits. Is that, I mean, I've seen various figures, but that's one that the Human Services Department put out. Is that a reasonable figure, do you think?
It is reasonable. I mean, one in five New Mexicans is currently accessing and participating in the food stamp or SNAP program. And given our hunger statistics, it's a really vital source of nutrition assistance in New Mexico.
And is there a belief that there are people out in our population who are eligible that aren't receiving them as well, receiving SNAP benefits?
There is. The last time that this was looked at, sort of eligible, how many people are enrolled that are eligible, it was around 80% of eligible people were participating. But this hasn't been looked at closely in a few years. So, you know, we're not sure where that stands exactly right now.
Okay, but we are looking at more than 20% of our total population receiving SNAP benefits. And the figure I saw from HSD, Human Services Department, was 205,000 children are receiving those benefits. So, Ed Boland, let's get to you. So you were here. You were here in New Mexico in Truth or Consequences, I believe, on September 10th or 11th to testify on SNAP issues before the Legislative Health and Human Services Committee. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, for which you work, is located in Washington, D.C. How and why is the center interested in what is happening in New Mexico with regard to food stamps or SNAP?
Well, the center is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that works on federal and state fiscal and policy issues. So we've had a longstanding interest in SNAP. SNAP, or food stamps, has become probably the most important and largest safety net program that's available to almost every person who is poor enough to qualify. There's other programs like cash assistance or TANF, which a lot of people call welfare, but that's really limited in a lot of states to families with kids at very, very low incomes. Unemployment insurance is available to some people, but not everybody. SNAP is an entitlement, which means if you meet the criteria, the federal government will provide those benefits and put them on your card so long as you stay eligible. And it's really become the core safety net program for people across the nation. So the center has been involved at the D.C. level, but also with states all around the country in trying to make the program work for those who need it. Why New Mexico in particular? I think as we'll discuss about some of the proposals that the state administration is putting forth, New Mexico kind of sticks out as an outlier, and some of what they're doing is not typical for states in the kind of economic state that New Mexico is in. So
Right, and we just painted that picture, which is fairly bleak in terms of hunger and poverty. Is the center, and we've got two centers here, so let me say, is the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, is it partisan in any way? Are you attached with any particular political party?
No, we're nonpartisan, and our funding is all private, so we don't receive government funds at all.
Okay, can you help us, Ed Boland, understand what the Human Services Department or the Martinez administration is proposing here in New Mexico? And I know it's complex, so we can sort of break it down as much as we can to help people understand.
Sure, there are two issues around SNAP that that I was coming out to talk about. The first one is a proposal that the administration makes to impose a time limit for non-disabled childless adults who receive SNAP benefits. And that time limit is actually part of the federal law around SNAP. It means if you are a childless adult and not disabled, meaning it's possible you might be able to work, you can receive SNAP benefits for 3 months out of every 3 years, unless you're working at least half-time or in a job training program or workfare or somehow meeting the qualifications to keep your benefits. So that's an existing rule for all SNAP participants.
And what is that time limit, Ed? How many months?
You get 3 months of benefits in a three-year period. So for a lot of people, it's actually 3 months. Then you get cut off of the program and you never come back because you've lost your benefits.
Okay.
But theoretically, you come back after 3 years.
And has this time limit been enforced across the country?
As part of the law that put the time limit in place, Congress realized, like, that's actually a very harsh limit if there's no jobs available, right? If you are poor enough to need help putting food on the table, and there's no jobs to go, no matter how hard you look for them, it's kind of a cruel thing to cut off benefits after 3 months. The state is not required to provide a job or job training or anything, so the 3 months can really be a short limit. I think Congress recognized that, and so they included this option for states to seek a waiver from that requirement if the state had high unemployment. And there's various ways of showing that you have high unemployment. And during the recession in 2008, 2009, most states could very easily show they had high unemployment, and so most states were waiving the time limit. What's been happening since then is in some states, unemployment is going down, thankfully, and people are there's more jobs available for people. So some states have started to put the time limit back in place because they no longer qualify for that waiver. What's unique about New Mexico is New Mexico actually, unfortunately, still has high enough unemployment to qualify for the waiver, but they're deciding voluntarily to not seek the temporary waiver of the requirement.
Okay, so the first part of what New Mexico is proposing in this new rule is to not take the waiver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the second part?
The second part is expanding the employment and training program in New Mexico for SNAP participants. It includes these childless adults, but it also would expand the requirement that people do some sort of job search or community service in order to keep their SNAP benefits. It expands who has to do that to include parents with children and some other populations.
Okay. Sovereign, when was this rule published, and is there anything you want to add about the two parts of the rule?
Sure. So the rule was published at the very beginning of August, and it was a proposed rule. It has not been finalized yet. Around August 15th, the state submitted a plan to the USDA for implementing this rule that contained a lot more details, and that plan has not been made public. We've obtained it through a public records request, and the department has discussed parts of it. So it's been very difficult to cobble together exactly what this is going to look like, these two requirements that Ed described. But what we know is that for childless adults without disabilities, they are going to have to work 20 hours a week or engage in this employment and training program that's going to be expanding, or they could lose benefits for up to 3 years. And the state does have some planned exemptions from that, but it's going to be implemented beginning November 1st, according to the state's plan. And then with the employment and training program itself, like, what exactly are people going to have to do to maintain their SNAP benefits? That's going to be expanded as well. People will have to do an online registration for job search, which we know will have a lot of barriers. There aren't very many exemptions from these requirements. People will be expected to do community service, including parents of children and other requirements. So we know that this is going to be really change what people have to do to comply and have food assistance. And we anticipate that it's going to raise a lot of barriers.
Well, just to bring this home for people who are listening, regardless of where they fall on the issue, is the formal comment period still open or has that closed?
The comment period on the proposed rule has closed. However, the state has not issued a decision. So people certainly could still contact the governor and stand with really the majority of people in the state that have been expressing that the governor really should not should accept the waiver and should not expand employment and training at this time, considering we do have very high unemployment and slow job growth.
Okay. And so large question here. Why is there opposition to these proposed rules?
Well, I think there's three main reasons. One is the state of hunger and the economy in New Mexico. So the idea that childless adults without dependents and other adult SNAP participants, including parents, could lose their food assistance if they don't If they aren't working, when there aren't jobs, if they aren't looking for jobs, which we know don't exist right now, that's really not a sound decision, and that goes contrary to the purpose of the food stamp program, which is to reduce food insecurity. We're also concerned about the economic loss to the state of New Mexico, right? The average benefit amount, and these are federally funded benefits, 100% funded by the federal government. So the average New Mexican participating in SNAP receives $128 a month. New Mexico would potentially be losing those federal dollars coming into our state for many of the 80,000 New Mexicans expected to be mandated to participate in these requirements. So putting those federal dollars at risk is a real problem for New Mexico. We know that they stimulate our economy. Every $5 of SNAP benefits generates around $9 in economic activity. So that's tens of millions of dollars at risk for New Mexico. And third, we've seen that our state over the last year in particular has really struggled with the very basic provision of SNAP food assistance, showing that they probably are not administratively capable of putting in place this rule and administering it in a way that doesn't end up harming SNAP participants. The USDA has come in and found that the state is not effectively and efficiently administering the SNAP program. A federal judge has ruled that the state needs to remove barriers to accessing SNAP benefits because the state has had a backlog, actually, in the provision of those benefits, has been unable to timely provide emergency food assistance and basic food assistance. And they have an enormously high rate of error in the SNAP program. Negative decisions in the SNAP program in our state are some of the highest in the country. The last time the USDA verified that, we had an error rate of about 53%.
We're talking today about the proposed rule changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits work requirements. If you would like to join in our discussion, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may post comments on the Call and Show webpage at kunm.org. You may call our local number, 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM, or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866, with questions and comments. I'm joined today by Sovereign Hager, staff attorney with the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty, and by phone from Washington, D.C., with Ed Bolin, senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. We just heard a bit about the opposition to these rules. We'll take a look at some of the what some of the proponents are saying, and we'll get with your calls and comments. We'd like to know, is this the right or best time for New Mexico to be instituting rule changes concerning the federally funded Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP? We'll be back with you in a moment.
Do you have a good phone voice and neat printing? Then KUNM needs you to come in and help us answer phones during our fall pledge drive, October 18th through the 24th. We have 2 and 3 hour shifts available, weekends starting at 6:45 a.m. and weekdays starting at 5:45. It's simple and fun. Watch a training video at home and be ready to answer phone calls from other listeners. Free refreshments and choose a free CD for every volunteer shift. Call 277-4516.
Not until they realize the fragility of lives being taken from a bottle of beer and wine. A few seconds to leave behind while they wait for an entire time to speculate what they've done. And here is the families from the sons and daughters they stole cry. They're lost in their minds of what's wrong and what's right. And they're filled with excitement, still innocent inside. When they walk through a door promising a night that will be something to remember. Not the one to end their lives or label out DWI.
Listen to Youth Media Project's Audio Revolution this Friday at 8 a.m. on KUNM 89.9 FM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and today we're talking about proposed changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program work requirements. I'm joined by Sovereign Hager, staff attorney with the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty, and Ed Bolin, senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Before we get to some of what the proponents are saying, let's take our first caller. It's Sarah from Albuquerque. Good morning, Sarah.
Oh, good morning. Okay, so anyways, this is obviously, can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
This is obviously one more means to discourage the poor people from getting the help that they need. And they do this with the you know, welfare, food stamp, and disability programs, and even Section 8. They make it so difficult that people just get so tired, and they just want you to just give up and just kill themselves on the street. But I used to be a homeless person, and I remember applying for these general assistances where they make you look for a job, and you just like, I can't do this because you're already tired from sleeping outside. You're hungry. You're trying to run around, trying to take a shower. You got bags. You're trying to run around from shelter to shelter, trying to get food. Or the other people with children, they're already looking for a job. They're already trying to find housing. They're applying for Section 8, and so they're so overburdened with trying to keep clean and try to make it. And on top of this, they want you to go and work. This is almost impossible, because in order to be able to work, you need to have a place to put your stuff. You need a place to take a shower, so you could go and be able to get yourself coherent. But when you're poor and you're tossed around like a, you don't know if you're coming or going, and don't know what's happening, and you just want to get something to eat, and they want to torture these people trying to eat.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for your call today. And so, question to you, Sovereign, does New Mexico have support services that will help not just homeless people, but people with children who will need to get care for them if they're going out and doing job training or community service or whatever they might be doing? Do we have those services?
So in our current employment and training plan, and it's an interesting way to think about what's going to happen with these requirements, we require childless adults who aren't disabled to document job search and to the department as a condition of receiving SNAP. And that's the program that we currently have in place, and that's been in place for about a year. So we could look at that to see, you know, are people able to access SNAP? And there is absolutely no evidence that they have better employment outcomes. In the state's proposed plan, we've seen them say to the USDA, we would like to have some support services and request funding so they can help people with transportation and childcare. It's a very, very low number of people that they've requested funding to provide those support services to. And those support services only exist as a reimbursement after people comply. So you basically already have to have the resources to have childcare or to have transportation comply, and then you could be eligible potentially to get a reimbursement. Most likely the people with those barriers are just not going to be able to comply and fall off of the SNAP program.
Okay, I do want to let listeners know that we did request participation from both the governor's office and the Human Services Department, which recently testified before the Legislative Health and Human Services Committee, as well as a range of Republican lawmakers who are proponents, but participation was not forthcoming. So we have posted a handout from the September 11th interim committee meeting in Truth or Consequences of a presentation by Brent Ernest, Deputy Secretary of the Human Services Department. And in the document, Mr. Ernest has listed, quote, key points, unquote. So let's go through these and see what he had to say and get a response. And so, Ed Bolin, let's start with you. So number one of his key points is this rule removes a temporary waiver. It will be phased in and includes numerous exemptions for high unemployment areas. How would you respond to that?
I think that is an accurate statement, but it's only sort of half of the picture. All of these waivers are temporary. They only last for 12 months. And I think what the state is doing is saying we're not going to take this statewide waiver. We're going to phase in this other much more limited thing that's going to cut SNAP benefits after 3 months to lots of people. But what they don't say is that, in fact, next year the state's not going to even qualify for this statewide waiver.
Why won't it qualify next year, Ed?
Because the criteria for this statewide waiver is based on unemployment rates and actually a federally created extended unemployment benefit program. That program ends because Congress decided not to continue to fund it, so there's no way to qualify under that criteria. There's complicated ways of figuring out other ways to waive high unemployment areas, as the state has proposed here. But to me, the question is, what's the rush? Why is it this year that you have to limit benefits to 3 months out of 3 years when there's not enough jobs, when, in fact, some poverty data that came out this morning shows that New Mexico is one of three states to have increasing poverty, where the rest of the states are going down? You know, why this year? Why not wait till next year when you have a chance to actually try to get some of the supports that Sovereign mentioned into place, try to identify who's going to be subject to these things and make sure that they have a chance to keep their benefits by getting a job or getting some job training or being able to comply with the work requirements?
All right, we'll return to those key points, but let's bring in August from Santa Fe, who wants to talk about the Farmers Market Institute and SNAP benefits. Thanks so much for joining us, August.
Yes, good morning. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So what we do at the Santa Fe Farmers Market on Tuesday and Saturdays at the information booth at the back of the pavilion, back by pastries and coffee, we receive SNAP benefit people with their cards in hand, and if they want $20 off their card, we will double the amount they can shop with the $40. That's only $20 on any Tuesday and Saturday. So if they want $5 off their card, we will award them $10 to shop with. If they want $15 off the card, they get $30 to shop with, and so on and so forth. This was a city program that was the money and the funds were raised by the Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute in cooperation with private donations, grants, and the city of Santa Fe. So for those of you who don't know about it, tell your friends, come and visit me, and we will make shopping at the farmers market much more possible and doable for you and your family.
August, thanks so much for pointing out that benefit to people. We appreciate your call today. Let's go ahead. Before we get back to these key points, let's bring in John from Albuquerque, who, he wants to tell us about how there's nothing wrong in asking people to have a job. Good morning, John. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, you know, I listened to that lady calling earlier, and my heart, you know, I feel bad for her, but, you know, I work 60 hours a week. There's nothing wrong with work. In fact, all studies show children who observe and watch their parents who go to work, try to go to work, and have a job, have better outcomes, and we don't have systemically troubling problems when it comes to issues of unemployment and needs on the government. And the one thing that I want to point out that's amazing, because this is a hot topic in the state of New Mexico, is illegal immigration. You have illegal immigrants risking their life and limb, life savings, and subjecting themselves to probably rape to come to the United States. They don't speak our language, but by hook or by crook, they find a job, they get a job, and they work, and they sustain themselves. And why is it that people here feel as though that they don't have to put forth efforts to contribute to the greater good of mankind and the community to try and find a job?
Well, John, let me ask you a question. So when you picture someone who's receiving SNAP benefits, do you picture that person as someone who just doesn't want to work? Or do you sometimes think people can't find a job? I'm just curious, what is the picture you have in your mind?
Well, part of the picture I have in my mind is that within a community, whether you're a caveman, whether you're in the 21st century, whether you're on this continent or any continent, the success and the survivability of that community is people putting forth effort to contribute. And if there is a systemic issue where people can go years at a time without trying to put forth effort to work or find work, then it hurts a lot of other people around them to an extent probably greater than the good that they would receive from those benefits.
All right. All right. Thank you for your explanation. We're going to get our panelists here to comment on what you said. Thanks so much for your call this morning, John. You would like to comment, Sovereign?
Sure. So I think, you know, it's a good point about people working. And I think everyone shares the goal of having expanded opportunities for employment and increased income in New Mexico. And I just raise the point that's important to know something about who in New Mexico is participating in the SNAP program. And about 47% of SNAP participants are actually in working families right now. They may be underemployed. Not everybody in the household may be able to work. Over half of our SNAP participants are kids. So that's important. The second important point is that the average amount of time that people are on SNAP benefits is not years. Nationally, it's around 8 to 10 months. In New Mexico, I think it goes as high as 15 months on average. So it's not like people are on these benefits for years on end. And it's important to also talk about the impact of not having an adequate diet on children. You know, there is concern about the impact of children when parents aren't working. What's going to happen here is that in New Mexico, we have around 137,000 school-age children that are participating in SNAP. When their parents aren't able to participate in these proposed requirements, either because they didn't have transportation, childcare, because of other barriers, those households will receive less SNAP benefits. The adult will be removed from the case, and the household will get less food assistance. That poses a nutritional threat to children in New Mexico, which studies it's well documented that those have even short periods of inadequate nutrition can have really grave consequences long term in the lives of children. So we're really concerned about the consequences of implementing these requirements and the impact it will have on households with children.
Well, Ed Bolin, and in seeking comment from you, aren't there charities that can pick up the slack and help take care of people?
To that point, there are some charities. It depends on where you are, you know, because there may not be a charity near you, and you might be the person who couldn't find a job and is hungry. And they generally are operating as efficiently as they can. They rely on primarily donations, contributions, and that sort of thing. So they have a limited capacity. And at the hearing last week in Truth or Consequences, the food bank very eloquently talked about how it was operating at its peak capacity. It could not expand anymore because there's not more food and there weren't more trucks and ability to move it to where it might be needed. So there is charity. It's essential and a beautiful thing that our society does for people in need, but it doesn't meet the need for the range of low-income people.
Well, and
one
point. I think it was in your testimony where you said if we have the waiver for another year, it will give charities an opportunity to ramp up and be more prepared for this influx of people.
Right. I think one of the horrible things is that if the time limit goes into effect in November, whenever the administration is proposing it. If the food banks aren't able to prepare, they're going to have to make choices because right now all their food's going out the door to people who need it. When more people show up, what do? Less food for everybody, first come, first serve. Who knows? Those are very difficult choices for people to make, and it's very difficult consequences for people who don't get the food that they need. SNAP is, I think, a program that's tried to fill that gap. And one of the most remarkable things about SNAP or the food stamp program is over the years, it's become much more of a work support for low-wage working households. The numbers of working people in SNAP have tripled over the last 10 years or so. Across the nation, the averages are about 60% of every household that has somebody who's able to work, who's working age, that person is working. And if you look at households with kids, it's up even higher. And what's especially, I think, helpful to understand is that if you look at a SNAP household or average SNAP household, about over 80%, close to 90% of them were either working in the year before they started getting on SNAP, or were working after they got off of SNAP. SNAP is that gap saver when you don't have a job. And it doesn't mean we don't want to encourage people to work, but it does mean that SNAP not only has a lot of working people on it, but it really helps fill the gap for folks when they can't find jobs.
All right. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Claudia from Albuquerque. Good morning, Claudia.
Good morning. I wanted to ask the panel about the community service option in Governor Martinez's proposal. I worked with a church for several years, and we periodically would have requests to have people do community service at our church, and we did not have the staff that could supervise the people who wanted to do community service. And I suspect we were not alone, so I'm curious as to how people who would fit in this category would be able to do community service because of the most nonprofits are understaffed to begin with. I mean, even our city is understaffed with our parks and rec. They don't have people who can go out and maintain the park, so they wouldn't have anybody who could supervise these people doing community service. I'd be curious what the panel would say to that.
All right, Sovereign, let's begin with you.
Sure. So I think that's a really good point, and we don't know exactly how the state is going to be administering this part of the program. They're utilizing a for-profit corporation to administer these work requirements called SL Start from Washington State. And that corporation currently administers work requirements in our cash assistance program for families with children. It's also called TANF or New Mexico Works. And in that program, the corporation has set up, you know, some relationships with different places where people volunteer, and then they have to document their hours back to the company. In this situation, it's unclear, and I think it speaks in the state's plan exactly how that will work, and it speaks to the sort of administrative complexity of administering this requirement, particularly where there aren't jobs, and a community service component would be really the only way many people can fulfill the required hours. So we don't know, and that's really concerning given the state of things at the Human Services Department right now.
Well, and Ed, there's complexity in keeping track of these 3-month time limits as well. Is there not? And then isn't there like a 36-month requirement to be without SNAP benefits before you can start again? There's that complexity as well, is there not?
It's a very complicated requirement, if that hasn't become obvious in our conversation. And I think, as Sovereign mentioned, the state has struggled with basic SNAP administration. This is a brand new kind of requirement if it hasn't been in place for years. You've got to track whether these childless adults are working or doing their community service, if they can in fact find it, as the caller mentioned, every single month to see if they qualify. And you also have to know whether they're where they are in their 3-year or 36-month period. And as was mentioned earlier, people are on SNAP when they need it, and then they're off of SNAP when they don't. They're not on forever. And so the state would have to track if somebody comes back on the program after losing a temporary job, where are they in this process? Very, very complicated. I would just like to emphasize one thing. I think the caller was just right on about how it can be very hard to create and have community service jobs. This time limit issue, this decision by the state not to take a waiver, is really troubling, because somebody could spend 40, 50 hours a week looking for a job, asking for community service, showing up at their church, saying, I need to do this in order to feed myself. And if they are not able to get the job or the community service, or the workfare, which is another option, it's a similar kind of option, they lose their benefits. So they could have tried as hard as anybody, I think, could reasonably ask anybody to try, and they could still lose their benefits. That's what makes this a really troubling proposal, I think. If the state can't guarantee that there are these places for people, and we know where they are, and we know where those people are, and we know how to get them there, they're in no position, really, to say, we're going to cut your federal SNAP benefits off after 3 months.
If you would like to join in our discussion on the changes, proposed rule changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program work requirements, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may call our local number, 277-5866, or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866, with questions and comments. Tell us, do you believe the proposed rule changes will help people get back to work and off of food assistance benefits? We'll be back with you in a moment.
On the next American Radio Works documentary,
what is school for?
Our jobs are to get these students working.
More American high schools are bringing back vocational education, and it's helping keep kids in school.
Over the past 9 years, the graduation rate here has gone up 22%.
I got into culinary arts, and I saw why I needed math. I saw why I needed English.
Listen for Ready to Work from APM, American Public Media.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, stopping the violence before it happens in a neighborhood where the police often feel like the enemy.
A lot of these young men and young women feel like, you know, society failed them. And we out there to show them that it didn't, that they have another chance in life. And we their chance.
Stories about who we decide to trust and team up with. our allies.
Monday mornings at 8 on KUNM.
Support for KUNM programming comes in part from our contributing listeners and by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and today we're talking about the proposed rule changes to SNAP work requirements. I'm joined in the studio by Sovereign Hager, staff attorney with the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty, and joined by phone from Washington, D.C. by Ed Bolin, senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. I want to read an email comment. It's from Monique. She writes, I recently volunteered at a food bank and saw the desperation in the eyes of mothers. Families in need just need some support and assistance to build their spirit, to empower them to make permanent changes. With that, on that note, let's go ahead and take Jan, our next caller from Mountaineer, who wants to talk about her mixed feelings. Thanks so much for calling and sharing with us today, Jan.
Yeah, hi, Kathleen. Thank you. I do have mixed feelings. Mountaineer is a very poor community. The schools qualify for 85 to 100% free breakfast and lunch for the kids, and, you know, we have the free lunch program during the summers. But I also see that these kids do not see parents that are working. And so they are growing up with no work ethic at all, and we are into second and third generation of that up here. And I find that very concerning, but by the same token, there is no work up here. And so people shouldn't go hungry because of that, but I do have mixed feelings about what our welfare system is creating in these upcoming generations of children who do not see parents going to work. So they don't know that that's something that they need to do. So anyway, I just wanted to say that because it is concerning, and I'm sure that Mountaineer isn't the only rural community in the state that is suffering those kind of issues.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Jan. So, Sovereign, will one effect be that families will have to split up and someone will have to move to an area in order to obtain a low-paying job or a high-paying job if they're lucky?
Well, I think we could look at these requirements to try to figure out, are they really going to help people work, find jobs, increase employment? Because the purpose of these programs in SNAP, which is to reduce food insecurity, and we have these programs to improve, increase employment and increase earnings. And if we look at what has happened in our cash assistance program, because that's really the longest term work program we've had in New Mexico that's been mandatory for adults, and look at participation. Under this Human Services Department, work requirements have become mandated for all adults, everyone. And we've seen a decline in participation by 24%. Not that people are transitioning to work or increased earnings, but really just that people are not able to access the benefit, the cash assistance benefit, despite increased unemployment, increased poverty. And that's households with children. And in the past year, we've had a job search requirement for childless adults, and we have not seen, or the Human Services Department has not produced any data to show that people were able to access employment through that program. So it's important that we really look at what the state's planning to do and see if it is really meeting the really unique needs across the state in rural areas and different communities that are all going to have different barriers to finding employment. And does this program really meet individualized needs of people that want to work but can't for one reason or another? The department hasn't shown that, which is why we think it's really preliminary to do these kind of requirements and could potentially be very harmful. And the state has a whole nother year to look at really creating a program that meets the needs of low-income and unemployed New Mexicans.
And I want to remind listeners that we were unable to get the participation of our public servants, of the Human Service Department, of lawmakers in this program, proponents. But there are people who believe in this program, and I want to go ahead and just read from an Albuquerque Journal editorial from August 8th titled, Work Component for Food Stamps is a Plus. Here's the language. Federal and state welfare spending today, adjusted for inflation, is 16 times greater than it was when President Lyndon B. Johnson launched the war on poverty in the mid-1960s. During that same 50 years, the percentage of Americans living in poverty has remained steady at about 15%. This isn't what taxpayers and lawmakers or Presidents Johnson or Clinton had in mind when they signed laws to help the truly needy. So asking recipients to demonstrate some interest in the concept of regular activity, whether it's work, job training, or community service, is a small price for what they get in return. And that's from my August 8th Albuquerque Journal editorial. Ed Bolin, comment on that, if you will. That concept, is it a nationwide concept? You know, we're giving people too much, and we want something back for what they are getting.
Well, I think just two basic comments. One is that if you took away welfare, SNAP, and the supports that the War on Poverty and administrations since then have administered, we'd have far higher rates of poverty, which should be scary, I think, to everybody. It's very well documented, and I recommend people can check out our website, Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, for our analysis of this data. But it's very clear that these programs reduce poverty. And so that's a statement about our economy and what kinds of jobs are available for low-wage, low-education workers. So I think that piece needs to be acknowledged. We spent a lot of money, but it would be worse if we didn't. Is it reasonable to have work requirements? We actually think it is reasonable to have work requirements, but they really need to be a work requirement. And that's why when I talk about this time limit for childless adults that the state is choosing to implement early, I do not use the word work requirement. It is not a work requirement. Somebody needs to find their own job. They need to find their community service or beg their community organization to let them do something for 20 hours a week, which could be very hard for that organization, in order to keep their benefits. Nothing to do about actually helping somebody get a job. No guarantee by the state to provide that opportunity for somebody. You're not even testing somebody's willingness to work. You're testing their ability to find something on their own. And I don't believe that's a work requirement. I think a work requirement is saying, hey, there's a vocational job training program here. There's a community service opportunity here. You need a bus pass to get there, or I know in New Mexico you need gas for your car to get somewhere. We will provide you that, and we expect you to show up. That's a work requirement, and the state is The proposal around the waiver is not what they're doing there.
Ed Bolin, senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan nonprofit policy institute in Washington, D.C. We do have a link to your organization. We have a link to your testimony before our Legislative Health and Human Services Committee earlier in September on our website. I know that you need to prepare for an upcoming meeting. I'd like to say goodbye and thank you to you now. And if you have any closing comment, you certainly may give it.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this, and I really do think, you know, New Mexico is struggling, unfortunately. I hope that things improve there, and until it does, I believe SNAP is a really critical resource for low-income New Mexicans who need help.
All right. Thanks so much for participating with us today, Ed. And again, we have all the links to you, your testimony and your website up on our site. Thanks so much, Ed. Let's go ahead. I want to read an email comment from Katie Stone. When more than one-fifth of our state's population is officially in poverty, it makes no sense to lose the federal dollars that could relieve the suffering of our poorest neighbors. The governor could employ more than 2,000 people if she opens up state positions that are budgeted but unfilled. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and take Michael from Santa Fe. Good morning, Michael. Thanks so much for joining our conversation.
These proposed changes, while on the surface it sounds like a good idea, we're going to encourage people to go look for work, find work. But the reality is that there are children out there whose parents aren't going to do that. And for whatever reasons, maybe they're struggling with addiction, we're furthering the burden on those kids, and they're going to go hungry. And I think Ed's comments that you're putting this mandate on people without giving them the resources to do that. Where are the dollars to help people find jobs and do community service? It's not there. Everyone's bursting at the seams at capacity with what they can do. And that's pretty much it. I think this is an attack on the poor, and for no other reason than this, and there are many other reasons, we should vote Susana out of office. She's attacking the poor people in New Mexico. Not right.
All right, Michael, thanks for your call today. And we're going to bring in Glenn from Hemis Springs. And, Glenn, we just have time for you to make a brief comment before we wrap up here today.
You bet. Here in Hemis Springs, our church has a pantry, 20 to 30 working families needing assistance. They just can't make it with the low incomes. A suggestion to the earlier caller who's working 60 hours a week, why doesn't he find somebody to help him with 20 of those hours? Why doesn't a man up here who's 85 and still driving a school bus give up that job so somebody else who's wanting to support a family can have it? And finally, the question, doesn't it seem that Governor Martinez wants to get up there and become a vice presidential candidate, and that's why she's pushing this so the Republicans throughout the country can look at her and say, wow, look what she did in New Mexico. Thank you.
All right, Glenn, thanks so much for your call today. Any comments you want to make to Glenn's?
Well, I think everyone has made a good point that this really is the governor's decision to either expand these requirements or not. And the governor has come out and is very proud of the fact that, New Mexico has a breakfast after the bell program and has said that she takes hunger seriously in New Mexico. So to that end, why would we be cutting SNAP benefits? Why are we turning away federal dollars that fight hunger at a time when New Mexicans are suffering and people are experiencing hunger? And I'd really urge everyone to contact the governor about this requirement, about how it's going to affect your community. You know, the Human Services Department has not made their plan public, has not really reached out and talked to community, talked to tribal leaders around our state about how these requirements might affect them or what their community needs. So I really urge everyone to contact the governor at 505-476-2200 and tell Governor Martinez how this will affect your community.
And, you know, regardless of where people fall on the issue, we've talked about the official comment period being closed. I was told over the telephone that the new rule will be published on October 1st, and we're looking at it going into effect potentially on November 1st in certain counties. So if people want to weigh in, if that is their, again, if you'd give that number to the governor's office.
Please. Sure. That's 505-476-2200. And to contact the governor, particularly over the next 2 weeks before we anticipate that rule to come out.
Any other closing comments that you'd like to make, Sovereign, based on our discussion here today?
Just mainly around the fact that New Mexico does not have to implement these changes. The state has a great deal of flexibility under federal law to really maximize access to food assistance, which has been, you know, a cornerstone of our state economy, but also, you know, a vital way that we've been preventing hunger in New Mexico. And the state has the flexibility to really design an employment and training plan for SNAP participants that meets the needs of the community. The state had a voluntary program to really access the people that were most able to use those supports, and now it's going to be mandatory. It doesn't have to be that way, and the state could waive this very harsh time limit.
And one thing we didn't get to, and very briefly, if the rule does go into effect, can the legislature do anything with regard to this?
Other states have passed legislation forcing states to take the waiver. It'll really be up to the governor.
All right. We'll see if that happens. Thanks to our guests, Ed Boland from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities in Washington, D.C., and New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty attorney Sovereign Hager for making themselves available to our listeners. Thank you so much. Thanks to our callers for helping to develop our discussion today. Apologies to anyone we could not get to. Thanks to our engineer, Jefferson White, our assistant producer, Kaveh Movahed. Michael Hess has handled our phones today. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Kathleen Sabo. This has been the KUNM Collins Show on 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org, a public service of the University of New Mexico.